Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber, the New York Stock Exchange. Got some big breaking news out of Washington this morning, and for that, we are going to go to Elon Moy. Elon, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. President Biden is nominating Jerome Powell to a second term as chairman of the Federal Reserve. In addition, Biden is also naming Lael Brainard to serve in the number two position as vice chair. Now, the White House credited decisive action by Powell and the central bank in the midst of the pandemic as critical to the economy's rapid recovery. In a statement, President Biden said, "I have full confidence after their trial by fire over the last 20 months that Chair Powell and Dr. Brainard will provide the strong leadership our country needs." Now, the White House also pointed to their joint focus on inclusive growth, financial stability, and climate change, and said that the administration has full confidence in their experience, judgment, and integrity. Now, both Powell and Brainard will need to be confirmed by the Senate. Already, at least three Democrats have come out against Powell, Senators Elizabeth Warren, Sheldon Whitehouse, and Jeff Merkley. But remember, Powell is a Republican and will likely draw bipartisan support. There are also still three vacant seats on the Board of Governors. Notably, Brainard was not named as vice chair of supervision. The White House said it would announce those nominations starting early next month and is committed to improving diversity at the board. But for the chairman of the Fed, the White House is opting for continuity, signaling it is satisfied with the economy's progress so far, naming Jay Powell to a second term leading the central bank and handing the vice chair position to Lael Brainard. Guys, back to you.
Elon, obviously big news, and we're going to talk about the market reaction all day long. We are expecting to hear from the president tomorrow to talk about inflation. Might we expect some further color on this decision then?
You know, one thing that this administration has struggled to confront is how to talk about and how to message these rising prices. They are trying to show that they are concerned about inflation. They are trying to show that they are working to bring prices down, but also trying to say that a lot of this is out of their hands. And of course, as we know here at CNBC, a lot of the trajectory of inflation will depend on the actions of the Federal Reserve. So I wouldn't be surprised if that comes up during that speech tomorrow, but we will have to wait and see.
That's our Elon Moy in Washington. Elon, thank you very much. Jim, does the market like policy continuity?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there's no doubt about it that Chairman Powell is directly related to how well the market's done. People think he's done a very solid job. And I'll tell you, it's also a vote for the idea that it is transitory, that inflation is not here to stay. Now, Jay Powell has been adamant that we're going to get all of these port issues, congestion solved. He's also been adamant, by the way, oil. Have you noticed oil, David, doesn't go up anymore?
Yeah, I did notice it stopped going up a bit.
Right. So, I mean, you know, if everything's... Yeah, I heard we had a report earlier about Thanksgiving being up 14%. Well, you know, the average wage of the workers going up, the taxes aren't so bad for workers. So I come back and say, this is a guy who uniquely turns out to be a Republican who's very much of a Democrat, which is kind of a nice right. mix for country.
But inflation is no doubt causing issues for the president, his approval ratings where they are right now. And you and I have been having the transitory debate for a year and a half now.
Well, I mean, one said transitory right, means short.
Yeah, kind of. I think it was summer of 2020 is when we started to really discuss it in earnest.
Well, I mean, you know,
and
prices,
here we are.
Working people are doing better.
They are. They are wages going up, but unfortunately their buying power is no better because costs have gone up.
I come back to the idea that COVID is just this hidden tax on the system. It's now become a tax. And I think that this is a very seasonally strong period. I think that we will, a lot of people, the Dow's been down, down, down. Everybody has been fearful of anything COVID. And yet here we are, you know, we have Phil LeBeau at an airport. And, you know, I think it's going to turn out to be a lot better than November of 2019. People want to go places. I mean, take a look. There's a company that came public not that long ago, Rent the Runway. And there are six pieces that are positive on it. Now, why are they positive on it? People are going out. People are doing things. So the news says that people are not doing anything. And what I think is so funny, Carl, is people, they're not going to work because they're afraid of COVID. They're just going out.
We're going to talk about some of the human behavior in a little bit. Let's get some more analysis on the Powell decision from Steve Liesman this morning. Steve, good morning.
Morning, Carl. Yeah, I'm looking at markets today, and I'm seeing, you know, the reaction to the Powell announcement. I'm seeing some Brainerd trade come out of the market right now. You have stocks quite a bit higher, at least on the futures, 175 on the Dow was around 100. I'm seeing the 2-year yield higher, the probability of a rate hike in May a little bit higher. I'm seeing the dollar stronger against the euro, though not across the board in the DXY. So there was a trade in there that perhaps it could have been Brainerd. I'm struck by, when I look at the press release, Carl, how much the president has introduced the two as a tandem, together as we're doing this with Powell in front and Brainerd as vice chair. I think he's obviously finessing the political aspects of this. One other thing that struck me is the fact that President Biden now has broken what could have been a trend, which was the idea that the president would step forward and no matter what the performance of the vice of the chair of the Fed would pick his own person. So I like the idea that that's been broken and now kind of reaffirming the apolitical nature of this appointment and the idea that the president is going here for bipartisan support and really, I believe, shunned the progressive wing of his party that had been lobbying for Brainerd. Carl?
Time, Steve, where we thought this decision was going to come earlier in the year by at least a month, but maybe a month and a half. And there was some discussion over the weekend as to whether or not the, quote, delay in that was adding to inflation anxiety. You think that's true?
You know, I think so. I think that the idea was that Brainerd was going to be a little bit easier on pulling the trigger regarding raising rates, and you can maybe see some of that coming out of the market this morning. You want to always be careful when news like this first breaks. The market can be very volatile. But I do see the 2-year here up at 56. It had been around 53 right when the news came out. I'm seeing the probability of a Fed rate hike. I'll give you that while we're live here at 48% now for May. That's what I'm watching to see if the market is really getting into this idea of perhaps a sped up taper. Powell's going to be free to do that, whether or not he does that in December. And the idea of rate hikes next year, you had two Fed officials start to talk about a faster taper. And the idea of rate hikes in the summer has now starting to get into the market. But what's interesting here, and God, this is all Jimmy's area of expertise and your guys' area of expertise, you do see yields going up, but stocks don't mind that. Stocks are going up as well. The idea that, hey, we're going to have somewhat higher rates next year, well, big deal. The bid is in this morning and a little bit stronger when it comes to stocks. I'd be interested to see when they open how the regional banks trade and whether or not there's still this idea that Brainerd in a high-level position there, not as bank supervision, vice chair of bank supervision, will be tougher on the banks in terms of stress tests, both with capital ratios and when it comes to climate change.
You know, Steve, last week we did see a pronounced decline in the money center banks. I think that may have been related to the idea that Jay would not be reappointed. It seemed to be more that than actual yield. So, I mean, obviously people think that Jay's easy on the banks. I mean, I don't think he's been easy or not, but that seems to be the market's impression.
No, people, I just disagree with this idea that Powell's been easier on the banks. There have been some amendments to the Dodd-Frank rule, and some people talk like Dodd-Frank was, you know, handed down from the mountain and not a word could be changed, you know? You come forward with a sweeping banking regulation in the wake of a financial crisis, you would certainly think there should be some amendments. And you could argue either side of it. But the idea that, as expressed by a certain senator, that Powell is a dangerous man. I mean, capital ratios in the U.S. are very high. The level of capital at the banks are very high. I meant the regulatory capital ratio is very high. So You know, the idea, Jimmy, that the banks are being let off the hook here, I think that goes way too far.
I agree. Steve, Brainard is vice chair. Again, back to this idea of an increase in bank regulation. Does that have an impact at all, or does it defer to the Fed chair when it comes to that, and therefore it is a bit less worrisome for those who perhaps were selling the banks last week?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to go back. Inherent in Jimmy's question was this idea. First, you got to watch net interest margin, what happens to rates. That's going to be probably the most important thing. I did some reporting over the weekend about this, David, and the idea of a Brainard chairship. First of all, they said, hey, the banking sector is highly regulated to begin with. A little bit more, a little bit less. It's not going to make or break it. But I do think you have to wait to see who is the chair of bank supervision. And I would imagine it would be somebody who is as tough or tougher on the banks than Brainard. So things could get tougher. And then, you know, there are three other positions to fill on the Federal Reserve Board. The way the Fed works is they sort of work by consensus on these things. You don't normally have multiple dissents on a new banking rule from the Fed. So I think wait to see, but you could imagine things are indeed going to get tougher on the banks as a result of what's about to happen through the appointments of the Biden administration to the Federal Reserve Board.
You mentioned Senator Warren. We meanwhile have a statement from Senator Toomey saying, I look forward to confirming his nomination. Political calculus here, Steve, is it a no-brainer or not?
It's much easier for them to get Powell through. Look, you could, if you were going to be expansive about this appointment, you could say, hey, is this the beginning of attack to the middle by Biden after what happened in the off-year election just this past November? And whether or not this is one of the few times, Carl, and you follow this as well as I do, that he said no to the progressive wing of his party. They were out there. They were lobbying. You had three senators, as Ilan mentioned. You had Warren, Merkley, Sheldon Whitehouse. All have said they would not vote for Powell. And frankly, the president had sort of let this become a bit of a political circus where, you know, he's let his own party come out and sort of dictate to him what should happen rather than him dictating to his party. So there's certainly a centrist aspect to this, maybe coming off of the bipartisan infrastructure bill. We'll see if this is the beginning of something different from the Biden administration.
All right. And we look forward to reaction from all corners today. Going to be a busy one. Steve, thanks. That's our Steve Leisman. Folds in with another all the other news of the day, Jim, which is some more signs of normalizing supply chains. You mentioned seasonality. Got Costin's note last night talking about why he sees 5,100 next
year. I know.
Year.
I said Costin some inquiries about we've had so many IPOs. We've got all these instant millionaires and thousandaires. There's just a lot of good feeling. How about the fact that all this hand-wringing about the store's not having anything, and the big box is having pretty much everything you need. Of course, the big boxes win. They've kind of won. I mean, last week, Home Depot, which is just a parabolic move. David, what people feel about with Home Depot is there are no other hardware stores anymore. They kind of wiped them out other than a couple of True Values. Hard to get funding to expand. So, yes, Tractor Supply is good, and I know you follow Tractor Supply, not at all. But the Home Depot trade switch.
I follow it through you.
The Home Depot trade switched from do-it-yourself to professional very easily. And the professionals, of course, pass on the cost to the consumer who doesn't know any better. Well, you look at that. Come on. Look at that.
Well, listen, we talked about it last week, of course, with Home Depot. We heard from Lowe's. And then Walmart did not respond particularly positively to numbers, nor did Target to a certain extent, given how strong the numbers were because of concerns about margin and not passing along all of the inflationary costs that they're finding, including, obviously, what it's costing them to grab hold of their supply chain to effectively deliver goods. But it obviously is costing more. But your point is one we've been making, and it will be interesting to see how it shakes out overall, which is the big continue to get bigger. And they benefit from scale and size, in part, particularly during this very difficult period where supply chain has become such an important component of your business.
Now, we have seen some of the stores that were closed, so to speak, like Kohl's. Their stock's now running. I mean, it's terrific. But I think that, and Nike, by the way, keeps running. But I think that, David, what happened is this was just the ultimate takeover of the companies that have scale. This is going to be known as an era where if you had scale, you won. And I think that people at home have to recognize what scale means is that you can tell the suppliers, we're not paying. You eat the cost. And when you don't have scale,
you can't do that. You also can't buy your own ships, freighter, basically.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, the Navy. The Costco Navy.
There were a couple of others as well that did similar
things. Notice the Navies want to avoid those ports where I think they feel, obviously it was 68, 70 ships.
But Carl, a couple of people have mentioned our interview with the L.A. port director on Friday as having been important, in part because he was more positive than we heard him.
Yes.
And that does seem to be reflected in some of the news we've seen.
Yeah.
Might be working on the weekends, though.
Especially the number of containers that are, I think, sitting around for, 9 days or more?
Right.
Down 40%?
Well, and they're stacking them higher.
Yep.
I think that this is something the president either uniquely doesn't know how to take credit for things or maybe it didn't make a difference, but it's been better ever since he went out there. I mean, did he threaten them? What did he do? What happened out there, David?
I don't know exactly, but there was a lot of finger pointing, and it would have seemed that there was an ability to at least get people to try and work together a bit more.
Well, it's always been that
it's still an issue. There's still plenty of freighters out there.
You haven't mentioned COVID.
We haven't mentioned Germany in particular and concerns there, and Angela Merkel saying that's as bad as it's ever been.
Right.
And there is definitely a concern as to what that will mean.
She's going out of
a very important economy. We don't want to slight Austria, but that's only 9 million people. Germany's a different story, given its importance to the EU and
overall. Yeah, but there are pockets of people who just, all over the world, who think that the vaccine is bad for them. We've got a president in Florida. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's just a governor who told Disney. First, he gave Disney the go ahead. Listen, you guys do whatever you want to keep your patrons safe. Then he went back on it. Does that mean he doesn't care about the patrons being safe or the workers, whatever? But we have governors who are acting like presidents.
We have 60 million people who still haven't gotten the vaccine in this country. I think that is still responsible for most hospitalizations.
Yes. Remember, Dr. Gottlieb does talk about how vast Florida may be herd immunity.
That said, they did a panel in the EU, similar to an FDA panel, did approve molnupiravir, the Merck drug, the antiviral last week.
You still flogging that horse? Pfizer's got a better one.
I am still. Well, there's some arguments about that.
What, you got a side effect story?
Well, written of ritonavir, which you have to take with the Pfizer drug. By the way, they're both incredibly important.
But they're not being used.
Well, they're not approved yet.
Oh, they're doing that stuff
again.
But
in Europe, they did have the panel already recommend approval, but it still could be months, which is interesting to note, given that they have had their panel weigh in and say yes to molnupiravir. Pfizer's not yet up.
Have you?
And yet it still could be months, while you have obviously a lot of people ending up in the hospital right now, and clearly this has an effect of keeping people out.
Well, one of the things that is not talked about, you have an amazing confluence here of just everyone going back to work all over the globe, right? They're all going back all over the globe.
They are.
Malaysia's been solved.
They're going back to
Malaysia. All Asian output in general
is
back.
And that was a big problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, but it's always like a black wheel. The pocket surface, we don't know what happens.
Yep.
Right? But what happens?
Well, and as you mentioned Gottlieb, part of his point was that Germany is basically it's Delta catching up with Germany in ways that it didn't before. And then he also had additional criticisms about how booster policy has been rolled out in general. Take a listen.
The effects of the booster are pretty much immediate. I mean, the data on the decline in clinical cases is about after a week. But if you look at the antibody response, it's almost immediate. So people who go out and get their boosters now could have substantially more protection in time for even Thanksgiving.
Meanwhile, some new data out of I got boosted this weekend.
I did.
I think you did, too.
On Friday.
Yep.
I got boosted ages ago.
You're going to need
the fourth booster does not work. Dr. Topol, don't get the fourth booster. The third booster takes up to 96%.
I was actually curious. I'm glad I didn't know, hear Gottlieb say that right away.
No, that was Topol.
Right away we get.
Right away.
Impact.
No, but Topol's saying, listen, you get the third, 96.
Meanwhile, to your point earlier, people are not coming back to the workplace, not because of that.
They're going out to dinner. They're having the time of their lives.
This continues to be a
conversation.
But they're
worried about COVID.
I'm sure you guys, that every time, I mean, everybody you talk to, I'm not back in the office during the day.
But in the evening, all
through. And by the way, all these conversations take place with people across a table inside a restaurant.
right. Meantime, how about Pfizer? Now, I got a call from Pfizer before. They said, listen, we've got a booster. We think it takes 96. Everyone is going to think that all we are about is profiteering. Well, David, the stock was at 36 when I got that call. It's at 51. Turns out the booster's real.
Yes, the booster is real.
Yeah, it's like Scooby-Doo. This time the boosters are real. Remember that one? Monsters are real.
What?
Oh, my. You're funny.
Thank you.
You decided to be funny. What happened?
Every so often it hits, Jim.
Holy cow.
Every so often. I can see you've come back for your pound of flesh from the West Coast, haven't you?
Well, I've
just... Was that word you used? Flogging? Really?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, by the way, we were the only people in San Francisco. Our team. There was no one else there.
Yeah, yep.
Hey, a guy, I'm in Gap, okay? Guy steals a sweater next to me. I said, what are you going to do?
It's a real problem.
Better than the 80 people broke into
the Nordstrom.
Yeah.
Should we stay long, Simon Properties, with the people breaking into Nordstrom's?
Well, CVS is closing a lot of stores, for some of them, for that very reason.
Yeah. Well, they've already locked all the cabinets in the CVS's, at least the ones near me.
Oh, you can't even get a pack of gum.
No, as I said, you can't get a pack of gum. You can't get an ice cream sandwich. I really wanted one on night.
Right. Take a look at the futures this morning. Improving, of course, in the last 20 minutes as the White House says they will renominate Powell as Fed chair. VIX comes down below 18. Ooh. Two-year yield back to 56 basis points, about a one-month high. Don't go away.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
All right, happy Monday, everybody. Time for our first mad dash of the week as we do count down to an opening bell about 7 minutes away. We've talked a lot about this name lately, of course, as we discussed the metaverse, omniverse, whatever you want to call it. Roblox is the name.
Well, when I had Roblox on, which was right here, Baszucki said, look, I don't know what people think is the omniverse, but we developed this a dozen years ago. We have this. Younger people are playing. Now, they're going upstream. They're going into teens. But this is another parabolic move. And that is because a lot of what was said by Zuckerberg, but a lot of what's been said about Jensen Huang, is that the omniverse can be work or play. The omniverse, as expressed by NVIDIA, is work, trying to cut costs in the workplace. This is the omniverse for music, the omniverse for teenagers, the omniverse for younger people. And all people care about, David, is the excitement of the omniverse. We certainly don't have a lot of earnings yet.
But is this sustainable?
It should never have been here. This is what's wrong. It was playing catch-up because the numbers were extraordinary. Now, see, they had a monthly number that was weak right about here, and then a little spike, and then things went down. As people just said, this company doesn't have any momentum. Now, just so you know, this is the company that I picked in our Super Bowl stock picking contest.
You did?
Yeah, I picked Roblox.
No kidding.
No.
You could win.
Oh, yeah. Not a problem.
You may win.
Yeah, just like the Eagles. I made my reservations to Los Angeles.
I did see the Eagles
for the Super Bowl.
I think those you may not be able to.
No, it doesn't matter. It's how we are in Philadelphia.
Got it.
We won. We're going.
All right. So this is a win for you in the. I keep liking it, but it
means it's the harmless omniverse.
It's like that.
It's the fun omniverse.
Or does it? You know, does it go like that?
You know, next year Jensen Huang said he might invite me over for a virtual Thanksgiving dinner. I'll have my avatar there. He'll cook. Does my avatar taste the turkey?
No, it doesn't. You won't be able to eat. What's the point?
I saw machines that were saying that when you said good job to them, they were really happy. This is really scary.
We're going to want to hear a lot more from that interview you did with Jensen Huang, of course, CEO of NVIDIA, on Friday.
That's not doing well, NVIDIA?
That's done okay.
I'm trying to remember.
By the way, you know, talk about shilling. All I do is talk about that great call of yours. All I do is sit here and talk about
I got an investment
one of the great calls.
The people in the investment club got that call.
That one in AMD.
My daughter got the investment call. She goes, Dad, this is free.
I don't dwell on your bad calls. All right, we got an opening bell coming up. By the way, remember, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course. Get the limited-time offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.
We waste a whole bunch of things to overcompensate for the fact that we don't simulate. We want to simulate all factories in metaverses, in this omniverse. We want to simulate plants in omniverse. We want to simulate the world's power grids in the omniverse. And by doing that, we could improve we could decrease the amount of waste. And that's the reason why the economics are so good for companies. They're willing to invest a small amount of money to buy into this artificial intelligence capability. But what they save is hopefully hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars.
It's NVIDIA's Jensen Huang talking metaverse with Jim on Mad Money Friday. I mean, what did you learn on Friday?
Okay, first, I didn't know it was an industrial application. It really is about Jensen cares passionately about the environment, cares passionately about scarce resources of the world, and he thinks that this is a way to cut back on the destruction of the world.
How?
Well, because we use too much energy. All the plants that he's looked at, they have so much waste. They throw away so many things because there's so much guesswork. He says there's a guesswork at BMW, but you don't need it. And then the best one, the most accessible one, is that the person at the drive-thru window is not as good as the simulator. The avatar at the drive-thru window makes no mistakes. And what you can do if you're McDonald's is you can have the avatar talk to every single person. And all you got to do is pick up. Right now, you got to go to that little thing. That'll be over. I said, if McDonald's called you, if Wendy's called you, and he goes, no, I don't know why. Why haven't they? Everything works smoother. He's talking about 30% reduction in waste. Just because he showed me the deconstruction of a BMW plant, it's very clear there's a lot of waste everywhere.
But how do you attack that waste in the
He sees better ways to no more guesswork. Everything is.
What, you do it in the omniverse? You know what?
Exactly. Well, the omniverse is precise. Well, there are a lot of things that are being built where we use too much of a product, like too much steel. Well, this makes it so that the exact amount of steel is correct. So you don't have to order, say, 5 times the amount of steel that you need.
Really? That's still an issue in this day and age?
Oh, my God. What's incredible is how wasteful we are as a world. And he is, again, you know, he's figured out how to use this industrially. So it's not just for fun. Even though he had an amazing, amazing avatar that Jensen personally had programmed to be me, and it had, like, that thing I do at the end, you know, and, like, hold on, David, you know. It had everybody. And Jensen said, like, what do you hear when it does it? And he's imitating me.
Really?
And then it did it, but he was, like, a really cool-looking guy. It was, like, Bond talking, like, hey.
Until his voice went up high.
And then it was me. And then he had a tiger that was done as a simulation. Simulation, remember when, you know, Elon called?
Yep.
Well, the simulations are here, and they're much better than you. They're smarter than you. I asked, I said, is this one smarter than I am? And he's like,
not even a contest.
He can program. Then I said, how about a Cezanne Seascape? Because give me something hard to do. Give me something hard.
Well, that's an all-time high on NVIDIA at 3:37 this morning. By the way, at the big board today, as we look at the opening bell, Shoulder Up Technology Acquisition Corp, celebrating its listing at the NASDAQ, its jewelry company, Brilliant Earth.
People like Brilliant Earth.
Yep.
I like Signet. Signet's been incredible.
Yep. By the way, Jim, President's going to speak at 1:20
on the Powell decision, and we'll get a little more color into what kind of what went into the decision.
I think that Powell, I hope he mentions that Powell kind of saved Western civilization during those days when everyone was freaking out and just made it so he backstopped. By the way, he didn't have to spend much money. Dave, remember how little he had to spend to backstop all the bonds? He just had to say it. But he doesn't take any credit yet.
There were an awful lot of programs that went in. I remember those press releases, trying to work through them all, the different support programs that they came up with immediately. Of course, Powell working with Mnuchin at the time as well.
Mnuchin?
Yeah.
SPAC.
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 Wait.
Klaus Kleinfeld, SPAC.
Well, who, Steven has one?
Well, isn't he got some?
Alan definitely does, but Steven, I don't know. Yeah?
He's doing some business.
Anyhow, my point was that period
was next to two people at SPACs
and dinner. Was a period of great uncertainty.
But
March of 2020 is
today's show.
April, as we watched demand plummet, as we watched the stock market plummet. And you're right, Powell, and I mean, it was there quickly. And certainly there are, his critics would say, yeah, he always bails out the market.
Well, I think that
what about the actual economy? But I think they go one and the same, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope it's mentioned that he was a steady hand in that. Look at this S&P.
It was mentioned. It was mentioned by Biden in his actual press release.
Well, no, I mean,
he talked about the fly by fire.
He has a presser today, right? Press conference, excuse me. My wife hates that when I say
that. Make remarks.
Sked, yeah. Presser.
Yep.
But look, I think what matters is that the market loves him. Because why shouldn't they? It's been a great market.
And you're a fan of his as well.
Jay?
Yeah.
Powell.
You took issue with him during a period where they were raising rates. You felt too quickly.
I was too harsh.
Some time back. That
was
fairly
harsh.
Early in his first term.
Yeah. But I called him a rookie.
You did. But you've been quite supportive over the last couple of years.
And I think that Jay is, he's got a heart. He's very pro-worker. I mean, I think he's the most pro-worker Fed chief we've ever had. And he is a Republican. But he's a banker and he's liberal.
Right, a liberal Republican.
Yeah, liberal. Old days. Yeah. Old day Republican. Not a Trump Republican.
Jacob Javits Republican.
Do you worry about
Nelson Rockefeller
like
Republican?
No, because that's Attica. Be careful.
Got it.
Do you worry about fierce opposition from the left as he looks for confirmation?
No, I mean, I think the left's exhausted. They're, like, tired. Move on. You know, let's move on.
Yep.
This guy's a hero of the left.
All right, speaking of moving on, let's get back to what we talked about.
Constellation Brands, you moving on?
You mean the monster thing?
Yeah, what, you don't like it?
I don't know what to make of that. Jim's referring to a Bloomberg story that talks about monster. The stock's up a little bit. They don't say they're actually in talks. They say they're talking to their advisors about doing something with Constellation. It's gotten a lot of people curious, actually, Jim, is what it really has. I've heard from a number of people, and I haven't spoken to bankers close to this, but I have talked to a number of holders of Monster. Wait a second. Coke owns 20%. They get the bottling. They just bought Body Armor, so we don't necessarily think they really want to play here.
Right.
Unclear what Constellation, which has a lot of debt. By the way, it might even have to be a merger of
equals. It's a cash flow
and it gets
machine.
A lower multiple than does Monster, which is one beverage company. A lot of people just wondering what they really
are up to.
Maybe
it was just floated. Maybe it's a trial balloon.
Maybe it's a JV. Maybe it's nothing. I don't know.
Well, Constellation spent all that money on Canopy, and so far that's not been a great bet.
You can see the market's having a very muted response to it, which probably makes sense given at least what I'm hearing.
And Vonage is too small for you to talk about, right?
No, Vonage is not too small to talk about. I'll talk about it. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, it's a deal.
It's a $5.3 billion deal. It's a 28% premium.
But Ericsson's trying to have a pulse.
Ericsson's
got a pulse. And Nokia last week. These guys have pulses.
They have pulses.
Right? They're alive. They're alive.
There is real competition going on there in sort of this cloud area in terms of voice function and
you think
all the different functionality. And they're buying Vonage, yes. And you can see the stock is up almost 25%. It's a $21 deal, so it is still trading at a bit of a discount.
But
to
how about the day
deal,
held out,
they
huh?
They say we'll close 2022. And they are talking about it being EPS and free cash flow accretive by 24. We saw Ericsson shares. But yeah, so that stock, Vonage is up, of course, at this point. But yeah, it's relatively small.
Well, you know what? Did you notice the parabolic nature of Constellation Brands in the last few weeks?
I have.
People obviously speculating, and we just didn't know it. That stock's been on fire. And it was on fire.
Speaking
it's
of
all the way
fire,
back. That's too short a time. We gotta look. There it is. Look at that.
Yeah.
That right. Look at that right
side.
That
has quite a move. Look at that. I hadn't noticed that.
It had a good quarter. I mean, they had a problem with Mexican glass. Everybody has a problem with Mexican glass. Mexico's got big.
Are you having trouble with Mexican glass at all?
It's up to my wife. I don't know.
All right.
I stay away from it.
Rivian, of course, had been really on fire. It's down again, 5%. Lucid is also down. Got to keep an eye on our two favorite names in EV. Not favorite. I shouldn't use that word. The two names that we have been most focused on of late. Of course, we're always focused on Tesla.
Well, I think that this is Ford.
Up, by the way, 3.5%.
But don't you think this is Ford when they came out and said we're competitors?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And Ford shares are up, Jim. Although it has still got... I know.
Right.
I know you like when I say this, so I will. It still has a smaller market cap than Lucid.
Don't you think this is like, Carl, like when Eli Wallach says to... Steve McQueen, the Magnificent Seven, we're in the same business, and McQueen says we're competitors.
Steve McQueen, whose obit you wrote?
Yes, I did.
For the,
and at the LA Herald Examiner, yes. And people may not realize because he hated it, and made it clear to me that he did so much charity, but he hated it. And he said if he mentioned it, I mentioned it, it would come back to haunt me.
Wow.
But now it's been, can I do it? It's been what, 40 years? What a guy.
Steve McQueen's.
People did not know. They just thought he was a tough guy.
Yeah.
It's heart of gold. Steve McQueen. People should go to Lombard Street. David, you know that one? The street in
Lombard
San Francisco?
Street, yes, I think they do. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you
walk there's
that?
No encampment there.
That's pretty.
We need to see.
It's a steep ascent.
Is it Google Maps? Do they have the encampments?
Is it bad in San Francisco, Jim?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Really?
I don't want to talk about it. I'm hoping it gets better.
Well, one beneficiary of the yield picture this morning is going to be banks, right? Do you follow them here?
Yeah. Look, they were down so... J.P. Morgan went to it broke the 160 level. I mean, I was thinking Jamie must be just like... I mean, what's Jamie doing? What do you think Jamie was doing?
What do you mean? What was he doing?
See, I sound like Jensen Huang's...
He's always working.
I sound just like Jensen Huang's avatar
of
me.
Maybe
what
a bit
are you doing?
A relief rally is Powell is staying on as Fed chair.
Wait, you think he's the bank's friend?
Not necessarily, but there was a belief that Brainard perhaps would be less of a friend.
Well,
she is going to be potentially vice chair, of course, but...
Citi's actually moving up.
Yeah? Doesn't happen
takes,
that often.
Takes a lot. That's like a cargo ship coming from China.
Shares
kind of
have,
sits there.
Activision Blizzard are down again. Another CEO saying... we do not believe these problems are going to go away until a clear resolution is reached, starting with the removal of CEO Bobby Kotick. That's
what
MKM
now about the board,
Partners.
David? Are they independent of Bobby? Because it looks like they investigated
the
for at least 7 minutes.
I mean, the journal reporting that Mr. Kotick said that he would decide himself whether if he could fix the problems, and then if he can't.
It's like a family business. It's a family business.
And the point we've made is, listen, we're not here to pass judgment because, frankly, we don't know. But it is odd, Jim, that you raised the key point, that the board has just said, we support you, and they're not involved here.
I mean, typically there's what, people should know this, there's a committee formed,
right.
They do investigation.
Right.
But I guess this didn't require that. It didn't go to that level.
Exactly. The board typically will take control of the process. The lead director will take control. You'll sideline the CEO
right.
to some extent and say, okay,
right.
we're your boss. We represent the shareholders. We're going to take a look at this and figure out what's going on. That's not what's happening here.
No, it's more not
like,
a lot of independence.
Yeah, it's more like Bobby's telling that to the board. Like, you go sit over there.
Yeah.
I'll take care of this.
Kind of more of an organization, so to speak.
But meanwhile, the stock goes down every day. So that's going to start to have an impact. There is a belief that, now.
Well, people are saying
Call of
Duty
is
not that good.
He's one of the smartest guys I know, period.
He's very smart.
Incredibly sophisticated, both financially and on an execution basis. But, Jim, there is a belief that if he were to actually go, that maybe the company would have to be sold. And that sort of... That may actually be giving a little bit of
buoyancy. That's very interesting.
The
group has been horrendous, and usually around holiday time, it's been red hot. Mm-hmm. Of course, the hot one has been GameStop. Nice article, by the way, about... Remember you said there was probably some insider selling at AMC?
Yeah.
That turned out to be pretty accurate.
It did. But meanwhile, AMC shares are up almost 5% this morning. It's hanging in there at a $22 billion market value.
What did I tell you?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Disney, although up just a touch, did get its price target trimmed at Wells. They go down to 196. The strong content machine was the culprit. meaning why looking for explanations on the Disney Plus sub slowdown.
Now we've got, just like we have David talking about Ford and how such and such is bigger than Ford. David, what is the analog to Disney?
Netflix.
Yeah. And now Netflix is
large,
much larger than Disney.
Not much, but yeah.
Does Netflix have theme parks? What do they got?
They just
cruises?
No. They got a lot of content.
Disney has a lot of
they
content.
Spend
a,
yes, they do. An enormous amount of content.
A fraction of Netflix's.
And there is that question as to whether or not they need to be broader in some way. Or whether
do they have to buy some? They don't have the balance sheet. Right?
No, they're starting to. Yeah, they got a good amount of debt. You're right.
Do they have Omniverse?
They will, won't they? Is there an opportunity for like ESPN in the Omniverse, Jim?
I think that right now.
Or in somehow I think in bringing
could,
people into the action.
Combine? Yes, because you can get cameras on every single player, which would be incredible. And you would be able to say fantasy, 55 million people, you just isolate your players. They'll be able to do that if they get on the stick.
I still have to wear my goggles, right?
No, that's passé.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you can just buy that.
What can I do?
Are you going to put in contact lenses? Or
no, it's like what Jensen showed me.
Okay, tell
us. You don't need no stinking glasses.
All right, explain.
Well, I mean, you're looking at it, and it's just kind of there.
That doesn't help me. Walking into a room? Am I just looking it on a screen? What am I doing?
Look at a screen. Look at Unity. Look at Unity.
Am I surrounded
Unity software.
By it?
Fricatello.
Is it all around me?
Well, is you it can around? Do that. You want to do that? What, a Gelfand? What
no,
time do you have one?
I'm trying to understand this. You still haven't helped me understand
it. No. Okay, so you have an engine deconstructed. It's just an engine put together and deconstructed. And you can see how all the parts can be made, and you can make a machine makes an engine. You can make that machine more efficient in the Omniverse. Why is this so hard for you?
Because the machine is not actually being made there, and therefore the car.
Well, there's
that it
a
will
virtual
for-
factory, okay? It's called a digital twin. And if you would just get a little bit more open-minded, you would see a second factory that they can figure out how it runs.
Okay,
does
so
it run better?
The virtual factory and then the, is virtual factory in the actual run- factory.
Okay, so, all right, so you've got an autonomous car. Maybe this will help him. Got an autonomous car. They've got three people in front of it, okay, and a person to the right. So obviously you have to make a decision, right, as a driver. So I said, Jensen, when the autonomous comes down, does it swing automatically to kill the person on the right? Rather than kill the three in front. And he says, it never gets to that. That's what humans do. Humans make that mistake. Machines don't make that mistake. Machines have millions of sensors. It would never come to that. There. Do you get that?
I still don't get it.
Have you ever been to a drive-thru window? Do you know that voice?
Yeah.
That's gone.
That could be a real...
Why hasn't Wendy's done that? You can save a person. I don't understand why people don't call Jensen today and just say, I saw the interview that you did with Kramer, and I want you to come out and fix my situation. And that's a lot of reason why the stock's going to a trillion. It's because when people realize what Jensen can do, I think they'll, like, give him a jingle.
It's already, it's getting...
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not very far.
No, I mean, a few weeks ago I was remarking on $700 billion, now it's $854 billion.
He has ways to be able to make it so a building uses so much less heat. He's also an engineer. He's an architect.
I still don't.
He's a painter.
What
he's a chef.
What am I going to want to get in an autonomous car for when I can just be in the Omniverse and not go anywhere?
No. He has ample evidence that humans are just uniquely. They get tired all the time. They drink. The chances of a machine doing any of the things that a human does, it's like ridiculous. Will you look at that?
Wow, it's incredible.
It's the greatest story of our time.
Hey, Jim, really quick, you know, given the rhetoric out of Germany this morning, this line from the health minister that by the end of the winter, everyone will be either vaccinated, recovered, or dead. Why is Live Nation and Wynn and Las Vegas Sands helping to lead the S&P?
Numbers are better out in Macau. The numbers are better. And China's got less of a vaccine problem. But let's understand, Mike Maddox, who is retiring at Wynn, and I think that, you know, one of the things he wanted to, I think he was sick of it. I think he was sick. Remember, Matt Maddox. Matt was Steve's guy, okay? But they are adamant that it costs $13 billion to recreate what he has, the market cap 10. I think that Wynn, my charitable trust owns it, that Wynn can be a snapback or it can be a takeover target because it's so small. And remember, David, by the way, have you watched the gambling stocks? I know that some people, you know, DraftKings has a huge amount of insider buying. Huge amount of insider buying.
More today, in fact. More? And Robbins last week, right?
Well, you know, I think Jason's saying Arizona is going incredibly well.
They still harbor ambitions to obviously get larger quicker.
Yes.
They dropped the Entain bid, as we know, because we followed that closely. In part because of concern Entain had certainly about the currency, which was going to be a key part of it, namely that stock price.
Right. Well, remember, I think that it's still a cost of acquisition game, and it's costing too much. Like, you see the Caesars ads?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
How can you miss them?
Yeah.
And now FanDuel's still got the largest market share, but the casinos have very little cost. Now, I think that Jason runs the best at DraftKings, but there's so much competition. Let's not forget Penn Nat.
Yep, that's right.
Penn Nat has very small market share, but obviously they have aspirations.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone has aspirations because people think it's the Holy Grail. I don't know. So everyone's aspiration is going to cost a couple hundred per customer.
Yeah, that's...
And then, you know, what they do is they have these things like if Mahomes gets a touchdown, you get $100. And, of course, like Mahomes doesn't get a touchdown. That was supposed to be the gimme, Mahomes.
I know.
It should be Jonathan Taylor scores five touchdowns, he gets $25.
But I think he pitched it to his running back.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I know. Yep. That was bad. The national game was bad.
Yeah, that was not.
Hey, you know, the NBC had one of the greatest games ever.
And I argue with you that Packers-Vikings.
The Packers-Vikings was incredible.
Of the year.
They used the pass to open for the run.
Yes. We'll take a break here. Take a look at the bond report. Obviously, big news for Treasuries as we get the news out of the White House that they will renominate Jerome Powell as Fed chair. Spread between the 5 and 30, lowest since March of 2020. And we'll keep an eye on the curve as the banks benefit today. We're back in a moment. A reminder that you can always get in on the new CNBC Investing Club. With Cramer, sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/investingclub or just point your phone at the QR code on the screen. It'll take you right there. Got a record high this morning on the S&P, record high on the NASDAQ as the White House plans to renominate Jay Powell. We're back in a moment. Time for Cramer and Stop Trading.
There's some unsung heroes of this bull market. And I think the one that is most unsung is Microsoft. And today, Wells Fargo comes out with Beast saying, listen, next to $2.5 trillion, cybersecurity, IT spending, operating margins expanding. Now, look at this. This is Microsoft. Will you look at this?
I love what we put up 20 years.
Yeah, well, you see.
Actually, 10 years, sorry.
Well, this is why I think this is an argument against actually an index fund. Because I think that this is just Nadella's put together an amazing team. And I frankly am in awe of this company. My child just owns it. I'm not saying I don't focus on it. I'm just saying it's untouchable. You can't sell this thing. It's just too good. Runway.
Market has already historically leaned on mega cap tech, but especially last week, right?
Last week was incredible because what happened is that all the money went to mega tech. By the way, the NASDAQ was up almost every day. That's why the Dow was terrible. What's happened is there are just a group of stocks. By the way, Meta does incredibly well. Apple has broken out very quietly to all-time highs. There are people who
Apple is almost now equal to the S&P's performance for the year. I mean, it was lagging by a half.
Lagging terribly. Now, next will be Amazon.
It's made that up in the last week and a half.
Well, because...
The car?
What is
it? IBEX?
I think the sales are going to be very good. Hey, notice, by the way, Micron keeps going up. I think also that's about sales. I think the consumer is so strong. I mean, you watch TV and you realize that if you go to T-Mobile, I think they give you like seven different devices now.
For free.
Airbnb, I mean, everything. It's like, nah, I'm waiting for you to get a Mac Pro. All right, so tonight we have Traeger, which is a company that makes a fantastic grill that really hasn't caught on fire. And then Zebra, take a look at that stock. That's incredible. That's barcode. Zebra, get that? And they're also, they'll solve the port problem. It's barcode. Remember that in Wire Season 2?
Barcodes.
The Baltimore port?
Yes, I do remember the port, yes.
Well, what a Monday going here, Jim.
Oh,
we'll see you tonight. Mad Money.
Congratulations to Jay.
Yes, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.